Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. There's a beautiful painting from Paolo Veronese in 1571 of our gospel reading this morning. It's depicted on page 3 of your bulletin if you'd like to take a look. But no worries, I will describe it as well. On the left, you see Jesus and some, perhaps, disciples all clumped together, standing with one another. On the right, you see the centurion, several attendants, fellow soldiers gathered around him. Notice how they are also clumped together, all of them touching one another. These two groups of people stand in the painting depicted there, and yet there is a divide. Notice the divide between these two groups all the way down to the base of the painting. So close are their feet and the robes, and yet so very far apart. It's that distance between Jesus and the centurion, and how that distance is bridged, that I want to explore with you today. Notice the young man Jesus standing there, hand outstretched. A young man, a simple man, a peasant, a poor man. And this centurion on the right side of the painting comes up, bedecked in gold. Old? That's probably quite accurate. A centurion ruling over 80 to 100 people was at the pinnacle of his career. This was a powerful man. And here he comes to kneel before a poor Jewish rabbi. You can see the two soldiers behind the centurion almost pulling at him. Why? Why are you kneeling down in front of this man? Are you crazy? What does he have to offer you? There's a cultural divide. Jesus and his disciples are clearly dressed as poor Jewish people. Now, in the painting, Jesus has pretty fair skin. And let's be honest, people from the Middle East, people who are of Jewish descent, as Jesus was, were probably browner or more olive than the Jesus depicted here, certainly browner than I am. I think that's fair to say. Notice that there is no racial difference between the Jesus and the centurion as depicted, and yet, I think the painter is quite aware of the cultural separation between these two people. Our text makes it even clearer. Jesus comes, and when the centurion asks, "Will you heal my servant?" One biblical translation translates Jesus' response as, "I will come and heal him." But our dear brother, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, has suggested that there is an alternative translation. Perhaps Jesus' real response was, "Shall I myself come and heal him?" Not as a statement, but as a question. That makes a lot of sense. There weren't question marks in the text, and it can truly be translated either way, but Jesus later says, "I was sent only to the lost children of the house of Israel, not to Gentiles like the Roman centurion." And we know from reading the New Testament that there were cultural divides between Jews and Gentiles. That's why the Roman centurion perhaps knows that he can't ask Jesus to come under his roof. The Roman centurion knows the cultural barriers between Jews and Gentiles. "Shall I myself come and heal him? How does the divide get bridged? It's that divide between Jesus and the centurion that is so very troubling. But maybe you can relate to that. Maybe because of your own sin, you know full well at times your guilt cries out to you how separated from God you really are. Maybe it's for a lack of personal devotions or a failing worship or prayer life. But maybe it's something else. Maybe it is a cultural divide. The shame of being a different ethnicity or a different race from what many of the other people in the body of Christ are. Maybe you've felt that at times, and it has somewhat cut you off from God and his gifts. There are plenty of divides among us and God. And yet Jesus bridges the divide this morning with simple words. Yes, we see Jesus with his outstretched hand. Notice St. Peter, presumably to the right of Jesus, trying to keep Jesus and himself and his robes away from the centurion. But Jesus openly stretches out his hand. But in the text, it's Jesus' word that bridges the divide. Jesus speaks to this man. Jesus heals his servant with a mere word. Why is that important in Matthew chapter 8? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, we've just heard the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, remember, the Sermon on the Mount, which we are focusing on during this week of Epiphany, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the whole focus is on building your life on the solid rock of Jesus' authoritative word and not on the shifting sands of worldly wisdom. For Matthew, the centurion who believes that Jesus' authoritative word will bridge the divide, for Matthew, the centurion is an object lesson for people who would hang on Jesus' word. Jesus does, in fact, heal the centurion's servant. But Jesus also speaks a word specifically to the centurion himself to bridge the divide. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. This centurion who should not belong at Jesus' table gets an invitation. Come, sit at my table. At the cross and at the resurrection, that really gets going, the Gentile welcoming to the table. But it starts with Jesus being put on a cross, because that's what people in culture do with those who would bridge another culture. They put Jesus on a cross for many reasons, but perhaps because he was bridging divides with Gentiles like this centurion, like with me and you. And at his resurrection and at the Mount of Ascension, Jesus tells his disciples his wish: go and make disciples of all nations, even me and you. The bridge between that centurion and Jesus is bridged by the word. It's a word which welcomes you this day to Jesus' table, to take your place with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the many saints. It's a bridge It's a word which sweeps away your sin in forgiveness. It's a word which reaches deep into shame of perhaps being what some have told you, or maybe you have even yourself sometimes wondered, of being the wrong race, the wrong ethnicity, the wrong skin color. Jesus' word reaches in and pulls you to his table. Thanks be to God that Jesus bridges the divide, but he also calls us to bridge those divides by being his people, welcoming all nations in, by going out, perhaps sometimes uncomfortable, but by going out and welcoming new people, different people, people who don't seem to belong, into this table around our Lord Jesus and his powerful, powerful word. In the name of Jesus, amen.